Amen. Our text for this evening that we want to look at with you is verse number 42 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. It goes without saying that the last words of people are very important. If that person is a loved one, then their last words are words that you will never forget. They're words that you will remember all through your earthly days. I remember some years ago in the early days of our ministry when we labored for the Lord down in Donegal. I remember tending the deathbed of a dear believer in Christ. The woman was very ill. She was in great pain physically. Yet in the midst of her situation, she showed great peace and great contentment because she knew that she was soon going home to be with her Savior. After reading the scriptures with her and praying with her, her final words to me were simply this, I'm in the Lord's hands. Shortly afterwards, she slipped into unconsciousness, peacefully crossed the river of death, went to be with her Savior in heaven. And by her last words, she showed victory. Indeed, she showed great fortitude in facing that last great enemy, the enemy of death. An enemy that every single one of us in this meeting must one day face should the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ tarry. And my, she had that victory, she had that fortitude because her faith was anchored in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be her Savior. She was a woman who triumphed in the marvelous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in our text before us tonight, we also have the final words of a dying man. Who was this man? This man was one of the two thieves who was crucified beside our Lord on Calvary's Hill outside the city of Jerusalem. In this portion of scripture, we read how one of the thieves mocked Christ. He rejected Christ and he dies in his sin. And that shows us that no one can presume on a deathbed repentance. But then there is this other thief and he realized his need of a Savior. He repents of his sin. He trusts Christ as his Savior and he cries to the Lord for mercy. And my, he is gloriously saved. We have record of his prayer for salvation. In the words of verse 42 tonight, where it simply says, And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Yes, in his final moments on earth, this man was saved. This man was made an heir of heaven and a joint heir with Christ. And my, his last words are his prayer to be saved. What a prayer this is. Surely it shows us that no repentant sinner need doubt or despair. Even on their very deathbed, when they call upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. For Christ himself has promised him that cometh to me. I will in no wise cast out. And this evening, I want us just to look at this dying man's prayer for salvation. Maybe there's one tonight, you're in the meeting unsaved. Dear friend, our prayer is that you would come to a point in your life just like this man, and that you too would follow his example, even in your heart and soul this evening. And that you would pray to the Lord, that you would seek the Lord, that you would call upon the Lord to save your precious, never dying soul. Oh, that tonight you too would find salvation at that place called Calvary, just like this man, where our dear Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died for our sins. Notice first of all with me from this prayer tonight that it shows great concern in the heart of this man. Yes, notice the concern that is intimated here in his prayer. He cries to the Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. This man was concerned about going to heaven when he would die. He wanted to be in the glory of God. His concern is like many whenever they too come to die. However, sadly, there are many in this world, and when all is well with them, and when they are in full health and in the prime of life and everything is going well, there is no thought of heaven in their life or in their heart. However, when trouble comes, when health goes, when life is ebbing, my such want to be in heaven, such want to be with the Lord in glory. My Balaam in the Old Testament was a man with that desire. For he said, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. One of those words, he was expressing a desire to be in heaven one day. Friend, how is it with you tonight in this meeting? Maybe once heaven was very far from your mind. Very far from your heart and your consideration. You gave it no thought. Continuing on with your life day by day and all the busyness of life and all the affairs of life. Heaven was in the back burner, so to speak, of your life. No concern, no thought of it whatsoever. But perhaps tonight things are different. Maybe that God has been dealing with your life and your heart and soul through circumstances. Maybe you've been brought face to face with death. Maybe there's been sorrow, there's been trouble, there's been trials, there's been losses in your life. And you've been made to think upon death. Yes, the time of your death. You've been made to think upon eternity. And my, you've begun to think about heaven. And my, there's maybe even begun that desire in your heart and soul to be in God's heaven one day. And let me say this, that if you are to be in heaven, then you need to follow the example of this old thief and ask the Lord and pray as he prayed when he cried out, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. But you know, as well as being concerned about going to heaven, this man's concern was based on the fact that he knew he had not much time left to prepare for heaven. He was nailed to the cross beside our dear Lord. He knew for him time was short. Life was ebbing. Blood was oozing out from his body. There was not many minutes or maybe hours left in his life. Hence he prays to the Lord for salvation, and his prayer is very simple. It's very plain. It's very brief. Just 9 words. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. This man knew that his hourglass of time was quickly running out. Thus with haste he cries, Lord, remember me. Dear friend, tonight the Bible says this, time is short. That's what the Bible says. My, the Bible tells us man's life is brief. The hymn writer says life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. The Word of God says our life is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You maybe, I'm sure, have boiled the kettle today already in your home for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. The kettle comes to the boil. The vapor spouts out of the spout of the kettle. It's just there for a few seconds. And it is gone. And it's disappeared. And friend, that's what God says. Your life and my life is life in comparison to God's eternity. Our life is just a vapor. It's very, very short. The Bible says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Our days are few. The light of eternity, our time is short. Maybe just like this dying thief, maybe there's somebody here tonight in this meeting. Maybe there's not much time left in your hourglass, so to speak. Maybe time for you is running out. There's not many grains of sand left for you. The sands of time are quickly running out for you. Time is passing swiftly by. And maybe you have not much time left upon this earth, upon the scene of time. Therefore, my friend, you should make haste to Christ for salvation. Indeed, this very moment, pray even as this man prayed in our text when he cried out, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Maybe you said, I'll get saved tomorrow. How do you know you'll see the light of tomorrow? Maybe you say, I'll come back on Sunday night, the final night of the meeting, and I'll get right with God then. How do you know you'll be alive on Sunday evening? How do you know? None of us know what a day may bring forth. Maybe you'll say, I'll get saved another time. How do you know you'll have another time, another season? Now, there just may be a few grains of time left in your hourglass. Just a little time. Only God knows. This man's concern to go to heaven was a great concern. I want you to see this. Remember, this man was crucified to the cross. This man would have been in terrible pain and terrible sufferings in his crucifixion beside the Lord. Yet despite his pain, not only despite the pain, but despite the angry crowd that was gathered around the cross that day, this man, this thief, he had to call upon the Lord to save him. What kind of a crowd was around the cross? Look at verse 35 and verse 36 of the chapter and you'll see something of the spirit of the crowd around the cross that day. It says, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him. That's Christ saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. This was no friendly crowd. This crowd was out for the very blood of Christ. It was hatred in their hearts for the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were baiting for his blood and for his death. They were not the friends of Christ. Yet before such a crowd, before such an ungodly crowd, before such an angry crowd, this thief is prepared to be identified with Christ in the presence of those before the cross and cry out, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, surely do we not see the burden upon his soul here? Despite his awful sufferings, despite the awful crowd that was gathered around the cross that day, this man's sufferings, this man's pain, the anger of the crowd, nothing or no one was going to hold him back that hour from coming to Christ. He was determined to be saved, to get right with God. Oh friend, as it is only the Lord Jesus Christ who can save your soul and fit you for heaven, it is him that you must seek. And I say to you tonight, don't let any circumstance in your life, don't let any situation in your life, don't let the friendship of others or anyone, no matter who they are, hold you back from becoming a Christian and seeking the Lord and calling upon the Lord for salvation. Over the years I've spoken to people about their need to be saved, and why there's been concern in their heart. But then they say, oh, so-and-so says they're a Christian. If that's Christianity, I want nothing to do with it. Or so-and-so has done this to me, and I'm not going to become a Christian because of that. Or if I become a Christian, others will mock me, others will laugh me, others will ridicule me. Oh friend, whatever the circumstance is, whoever the person is, let no one, let nothing hold you back from Christ. From the day of judgment, you'll not have to account for others. You will have to account for yourself. The Bible says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You'll have to give account to God of what you have done with Christ. Oh, I urge you tonight to press into the kingdom of God. You think of the woman with the issue of blood in the Bible. What a trophy of grace she was. And you read of her that day pressing through the crowd to Christ to touch the very hem of our Savior's garment. She pressed through every obstacle till she got to Christ. I don't know what the obstacles are in your life tonight. I don't know. But friend, I urge you tonight, press through those obstacles. Sweep them aside. Go to Christ. Seek Christ. Lay hold upon the finished work of Christ. For Christ and Christ alone can save your soul and fit you for heaven. The Bible says this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There's a lovely verse about our Lord in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 45. And at the end of that verse, this is what Mark says. It says, they came unto him from every quarter. What a picture. People coming from all kinds of directions, all kinds of backgrounds, unto the Lord. Coming to the Lord to save them. Trusting in the Lord. I don't know what quarter you come from tonight. I don't know what your background is. I don't know what concerns you in life. But friend, whoever you are unsaved, young person, older person, man, woman, oh, come to Christ tonight. Seek the Lord. Call upon him. Oh, cry out as this old thief cried out, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Yes, we see great concern in this prayer. But notice secondly tonight, notice the confession that was associated with this prayer. By this thief, what did he say in his prayer? And before that, in association with his prayer, there was confession of his own sin in the presence of the Lord. Look at verse 41. Notice what he says to his friend in the presence of Christ. He says, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. Speaking here to his fellow thief. And in the very presence of Christ, he admits that he's a guilty sinner. He owns his sin before the Lord. He does not try and hide his sin. He does not try and exonerate himself. He does not try and excuse his sin and blame it on somebody else. He does not try and cover it up and hide it up. No, he admits it. Aye, he owns the fact that he's a sinner before God. And my likewise, each one of us tonight in this meeting also are guilty of sin. Every single one of us. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The Bible says the Scripture has concluded all under sin. Every single one of us are sinners by nature and practice. Think of the words of Charles Wesley, the great preacher and hymn writer of a bygone day. He said this, vile and full of sin I am. He knew he was a lost sinner for a holy God. Friend, to be saved from your sin and sure of heaven, you must confess and acknowledge your sin to the Lord. Think of old Peter. Peter was saved. But Peter acknowledged his sin in the presence of Christ. He could say, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He knew he was a sinner. He felt himself to be a sinner before God. Bible says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You must confess your sins to the Lord. Think of what David says in Psalm 38. He says, I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. He's before the Lord, owning his sin before the Lord. That's how it was with this faith. You're to be saved. You must acknowledge your sins to God. Confess your sins to the Lord. This man also confesses his fear of God's judgment coming upon him for his sin. Look at verse 40. Notice again what he says to his friend. It says, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Now he feared God's judgment for sin and hell coming upon him. He knew there was judgment for sin before God. Likewise, friend, let me say this to you tonight. If you're not saved, you too will face God's eternal wrath and judgment and punishment and hell for your sin. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And if you stand before the Lord in the day of judgment, you will hear that awful sentence, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. There's wrath to come. Sometimes today you may be here at the funeral services that there's heaven for everyone. People preach a false salvation. It's called universalism, that all men everywhere, no matter who they are going to heaven. That's not true. For Jesus says, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. But he also said in that same portion of Scripture, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Oh, realize tonight, yes, there's a heaven to be gained, but there's a hell for you to shun. The Bible says, because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke, and then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Sir Francis Newport was an ungodly man. And when he was dying, he said to those around him, you need not tell me that there is no God, for I know there is one, and that I am in his angry presence. You need not tell me there is no hell, for I am already slipping down into the fire. He knew there was judgment, that there was wrath to come for him as he left the scene of time. Oh, to escape hell, my friend, you must call upon Christ. You see, the Bible says, for he that believeth on him, believeth on Christ, is not condemned. Only Christ can save you from the wrath to come. I cannot save you from the wrath to come. Your minister here, the Reverend Saul, cannot save you from the wrath to come. This church or any other church cannot save you from the wrath to come. Only Christ, the Son of God, God's hiding place, can save you from the wrath to come. And that's what this old thief knew and realized. It was wrath to come for him for his sin. Only the Lord Jesus Christ alone could save him. Notice here how this man confesses his trust in the Lord alone for his salvation. You look at our text, verse 42. It just says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me. Notice only the Lord here is mentioned. He mentions no one else. He mentions nothing else. His trust was in Christ alone for his salvation. My, he knew that Christ was the sinless Son of God, the Savior who came into this world. Notice what he says there at the end of verse 41 of Christ. This man hath done nothing amiss. He was the sinless, lovely Son of God, without sin, without spot, without blemish, who had come to seek and to save him who was a lost sinner. Hence he cries out, Lord, remember me. Friend, if you are to be saved from your sin and be in God's heaven, you must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Think of what the Bible says whenever the angel was announcing to Joseph the coming of Christ into this world. He said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Only Christ can save you from your sins and the awful ruin of your sin. Remember the message of Peter as he preached to the Jews. People devoutly religious. He spoke to them of Christ. And I said, neither is there salvation in any other. Christ and Christ alone could save them. Remember the preaching of Paul as he spoke to the people in Antioch, those from a Gentile background. He spoke to them of Christ, and he said, "Be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Only Christ could save them. The Bible speaks of Christ and says he is the propitiation for our sins. Not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Turn with me over just to 1 John. Way over towards the end of the New Testament, chapter 4. And look with me, please, at verses 9 and 10. Look at these tremendous words regarding Christ. It says, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." There John tells us how in love God sent his Son for him, to give him life eternal. In love God sent his Son for him to save him from the wrath to come, to set him free from the judgment of sin. It was all in the plan and the purpose of God's great eternal love. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This man, he trusts in Christ. That's what we're asking you to do tonight if you're unsaved in this meeting, to trust in Christ. Put your faith and trust in the Son of God, the one who left heaven's glory, the one who came to this world, the one who died upon the cross and shed his blood. Praise God for all who trust in Christ, for all who trust in his blood. My, there is eternal redemption for them through the blood of the Lamb. That's God's gift to you tonight. That's what's offered freely to you in the gospel. You will but come just as you are. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we see this man's concern, his confession. But notice finally tonight the great comfort that he received following his prayer. Look at verse 43 of Luke's gospel, chapter 23. He cried, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Look at the very next verse, verse 43. "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." What was his comfort here? It was an immediate assurance of everlasting life in heaven. What an assurance he had here from the very lips of Christ, the Son of God, that he was going to heaven, that he was going to glory. You know, this comfort here shows the great grace of God. How gracious God was to this man. Remember who this man was? He was a thief. He was soon to die. There was nothing that he could do. There was no church he could join. There was no works he could do. He could not be baptized. He could not do anything for the Lord physically. He was nailed to the cross. Yet irrespective of all this, God saves him by his grace. And he calls upon the Lord to be his Savior, to be his Redeemer. The grace of God was manifest in his salvation. Our brother quoted those great words in his testimony, "For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Oh friend, come to Christ just as you are for salvation, without any preconditions of yourself. And the Lord, I tell you, will save you by his grace, by his power. My David speaks some lovely words about our Lord in Psalm 86. This is what he says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, and long-suffering, and plenteous, and mercy unto all them that call upon him." The Lord is gracious. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is long-suffering to all who will seek him, to all who will call upon him for salvation. The hymn writer says, saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. That Jesus died for sinful men and Jesus died for me. My discomfort that this man received, it also shows us that there's no such a place as purgatory. There's no such a place as limbo land. For Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That very day he was to enter into the glory of God. My speaking of the Christian's departure from this world, the Bible says for the Christian, it is absent from the body, present with the Lord. And friend, if you're saved in this meeting tonight, when your body dies, your soul goes immediately into God's heaven. Your soul goes to be with Christ, which is far better. But friend, if you are not saved, you will never be at God's heaven when you die. You'll never meet with other loved ones who have died in Christ, who have gone on into the glory of God in heaven. What does the Bible say? It says this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But now we can also say here that this comfort that this man received, it shows us that all his sins were forgiven. Every single one of them. Christ gave him this assurance of heaven. That he was going that very day to heaven. And what does the Bible tell us about heaven? The Bible makes it very clear that no one who has not their sins forgiven will ever be in God's heaven. There is not one trace of sin in heaven. The Bible speaks of heaven, and this is what it says in Revelation 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie. No sin in heaven. And Christ gave this man this wonderful assurance that he was going to heaven, and it proves, it shows to us on the merit of Christ alone, on the merit of his blood and righteousness, this man's sins were all forgiven. They were all blotted out. By him calling in faith upon the Lord, the God of heaven blotted out all his transgressions. Likewise, friend, the moment you trust Christ and call upon him, he will forgive all your sins. That's the promise of the gospel. The Lord says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own name's sake, and will not remember thy sins. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, says the Word of God. After Martin Luther got saved, it was a time when he came under great attack from Satan, from the enemy of his soul. And he dreamed a dream, and in that dream, he dreamt of Satan coming before him and naming all his sins, one after the other, list after list after list. And the old Satan made the accusation, these are your sins, Luther. How are you going to be in heaven? How can you be a Christian? My Luther said in reply to Satan, yes, that list is true. But you've forgotten one thing. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My, he knew victory to the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb that was shed for rebels. The Lamb, the blood of the Lamb that was shed for sinners. That was shed for me upon the cross of Calvary. Friend, there's pardon for you tonight. There's peace for you tonight. In the precious blood of the Lamb. You can know all your sins forgiven. And you can be sure of going into God's heaven one day. Friend, what are you going to do tonight with the Lord Jesus Christ? As our meeting draws to a close, what are you going to do? Will you be like Pilate, whom we looked at the beginning of last week? Will you reject the Lord? Will you be like Agrippa, whom we looked at last evening, who said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, yet he turned away from the Lord? Or will you be like this faith, who trusted in the Lord in his dying hour, in his dying moments? Called upon the Lord and was saved, made ready for heaven. On one particular occasion, Fanny Crosby, that great hymn writer, was asked to give her testimony.
by the evangelist D.L. Moody.
And in answering his request for her to give her testimony, she simply quoted one of the great hymns that she penned. And this is what she said. Someday the silver cord shall break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King, and I shall see him face to face, and tell the story. Saved by grace. She had that hope in her soul. Why? Because she was a woman saved by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Friend, if you are to have this same hope of eternity, the hope of God's heaven, if you are to see the Savior's face in glory, if you are to tell that story saved by grace, then now in time you must come as a sinner to Christ. Come just as this man came. And oh, that the prayer of your heart and your soul tonight would be, Lord, remember me. Lord, save me. Lord, save me from my sins. Lord, save me and cleanse me and wash me in your precious blood. That's a prayer that God will hear, that God will answer. If you lift up your heart and soul to God, say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, save me. Cleanse me through the blood of the Lamb. Oh, friend, don't go away tonight without the Lord. Follow the example of this dying man. Seek the Lord tonight while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. If you'd like to speak with us after the meeting, I'll be in no hurry away. Reverend Salt will be here. I'd only be too glad to open up the Word of God with you and show you from God's Word how you can be saved through faith alone and Christ alone. Friend, there's nothing more important. In the scene of time, there's but a step between us and death. If you are to prepare for death, prepare for eternity and be sure of heaven, you must be in Christ. Your sins must be put away by His precious blood. You must be saved through the blood of the Lamb. Oh, may God bless you tonight and help you to come for Christ's sake. Amen.